And we are honored you're here at church with us today, and God is doing some amazing things in people's life, and I would love for you to make that a declaration in your life today, that song we just sang, because of what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus is going to do. Let's declare, devil, no, not today. You will not hold us captive. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, not today. We are created anew in Christ Jesus to live in freedom, to walk in the rhythms of God's amazing grace, his unmerited favor. And can I tell you something? There is an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy what God is doing in this world and in people's life. And we are here today to remind you of who God is, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. And the enemy has no rights in your life. And though we are all tempted in life, God never tempts anyone. But we have to learn how to fight temptation so that we're not limited in what God would have for us to do with our life. The enemy's goal is to basically trap our God potential, trap us from becoming everything that God has created us to be, to put limits on our life. And we talked about this cage last week, and we talked about the significance of the cage. Sin limits our life, and so we have named sin the limitator. And I can tell you right now, what the enemy wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants you to live with limits on your life instead of come free from the cage and walk out here and be everything that God has created you to be, empowered by his amazing grace. Grace is simply the empowering agent of God to help us walk in the fullness of who God says that we are in this earth. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. What happens when we're set free from the penalty of sin because of the blood of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus, and we come out of that? What happens in our life, and how do we stay free? Because freedom is why Christ Jesus came to open that door on our life, is so we can step out and be everything that God has created us to be. But again, the eliminator and the enemy wants to limit our potential, and so to say, put boundaries on our life and take away our potential. It's amazing to me because the scriptures, the New Testament, most of the New Testament is about the life of Christ when he was here on earth, okay, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then how to be encouraged to walk in what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. In other words, most of the New Testament is written to the church, to people who already knew who Jesus was. If you read the letters in the New Testament, Philippians, Galatians, you know, Ephesians, all of those letters, those are written to churches. And so the writers would write letters to encourage people in their journey with God and what God is doing in their life. And it wasn't always that the people were eliminated from life because they didn't know about the resurrection of Jesus. It's just that they had not completely embraced it and weren't walking in the fullness of God's amazing grace. And we're talking about walking in the fullness of God's amazing graces and what that is all about. And so most of the New Testament is written as encouragement to those who would be believers in who Jesus was. And I don't know about you, but I need encouragement in my journey. I don't need to just know how to get out of the cage. I need to know how to walk as I live outside of the cage. Come on, somebody. And that's what grace does. It empowers us in our journey. But what happens in life is the enemy is always putting temptation in front of us to get us to go into the limitator, to limit our life instead of walking the fullness of who God says that we are. And how the enemy works is he takes the good things of God, he takes the word of God and twists it in such a way that we misunderstand what the word is about and we misunderstand what the Bible is about, and he twists it up. And the reason he'll twist up God's word is to put limits on your life. In other words, the enemy always wants to confuse what God has said. That's what he did in the garden. He confused what God had said, and it's why the first man and the first woman stepped out of relationship with God and were separated from God, and it's where sin, this pin, this limitator, entered into the world. The Bible says, because they sin. Now the challenge is most of the time when we think of sin, we think of an action. The good and the bad that we do. Where sin is actually known as a state of being throughout much of the New Testament. It's interesting to me, as I've been studying, sin is only used about 19% of the time in the New Testament as an action word, as a verb. But it's used 81% of the time as a noun, a thing. And that's an interesting thought process, because a noun, a person, place, or thing is what holds people captive. And when the Bible speaks of sin, it's not always speaking of the thing you do or don't do. It's usually speaking of what holds you in, as a hostage in being who God has created you to be. And so we need to get a clear understanding of what sin is. It literally means missing the mark of God's glorious standard for our life. And there's all kinds of things that tempt us into falling into this pen of sin, I've been calling it. And usually it is something that is twisted in the word of God that makes us stay in this pen. So today, in saying that, we're going to read about how to not only get free from the pen, but how to stay free from the pen. And if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open them up to Galatians. Now, again, remember that the letters of the Bible were written to people who belong to the church, the called out ones, the people who had put their faith in who Jesus was and what he had done, but they weren't embracing what he was doing. Pay close attention. And the writer of Galatians is writing the people who had put their faith in what God had done, that he had died on a cross and he resurrected from a grave and he ascended to heaven. They had come out of the pen. However, it was as if they were allowing teachings and twistings of God's word to put them back in the cage. And really, that's what the whole letter of Galatians is about. Is it's a letter written to the church at Galatia to remind them of who they are in Christ Jesus and to walk in the freedom that he came to give them, because it is freedom that he set them free to live out. And so as the writer is kind of putting to bed those people who had come in behind him, teaching that there was a different way to be free from the limitator, the writer begins to expose that throughout the letter. And then he says this amazing statement in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, so Christ, the Messiah, the liberator, he says, has truly set us free. He says, now make sure that you stay free. Make sure you stay free. If Jesus, if his death, burial, and resurrection has set you free from the penalty of sin and you have stepped out, make sure that you stay free by walking by the empowerment of grace. And he says, so we've got to make sure that we stay free, because if we don't make sure that we stay free, then temptation will lure us back in and hold us hostage from living the life, the abundant life that God intends for us to live. Here's the challenge. Is most of us are taught that Jesus came to give the penalty of sin to forgive us so we can go to heaven one day. And that is true. But don't twist God's word. Because Jesus says, I came to pay for the penalty of sin so you can live with me in all eternity. But by the way, John 10:10, there's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy to take away your potential. And I have come to give you life and life to the full, life overflowing, life abundantly. Jesus came not to just take you to heaven, ma'am. He came so you could have an overflowing life here on earth, empowered by his amazing grace. And he says, listen, he says, you need to stay free. And I don't care if you've been set free from the penalty of sin. There is always temptation. And by the way, God doesn't tempt anyone. God may test your faith in this journey, but the enemy will tempt you to get back in the limitator so he can destroy your life. And you can't live out here in wide open spaces in the fullness of God's grace. So the writer says, make sure that you stay free. And look what he says. He says, and by the way, don't get tied up again in slavery in the pen, in the slavery to the law. So in our modern day culture, people say, well, you know, I just don't have to obey the law of God because I'm not under law, I'm under grace. And again, you're misinterpreting what the law was given for anyway. Because the law wasn't given to make people right with God, is what the Bible declares. The law was to help people see that they had missed the mark of God's glorious standard and to point to the Mosaic law, some of the things they would do, like the sprinkling of blood and all those things. They weren't given to just say, hey, you know what? You need to do good because you've been doing bad. No, they were given to show people that they had missed the mark of God's glorious standard, but it was also to tell a story about a God who would redeem his people. Don't miss this. And what happens in this particular day when this is written, Jesus, the liberator, has already come and risen and gone back to heaven. And the people had put their faith in that. But some teachers circle back around and says, no, it's not about the liberator. It's about you doing something under the law. And Paul, this writer is jacked up because now the people are misinterpreting God's word, misusing God's word, misunderstanding God's word, and allowing what is being said to put them back in a cage and limit their life in walking in the fullness of grace. Remember, the enemy will always twist what God has said in order to put limits on your life and my life. And we need to learn to have the mind of Christ, the wisdom that comes from God, and step out of this cage and walk in the fullness of his amazing grace. And so he says, look, make sure you stay free. Don't let the law bind you up. Don't let the enemy twist what the law of Moses is all about and binds you up. And these teachers that are teaching you this stuff, he's saying, and he says, they're jacked up. And he's saying, I'm coming to tell you the truth because I want you to walk in freedom. Christ sets you free. Then he goes on in Galatians 5, verses 2 through 4, and he says this, listen. He says, I, Paul, he's the writer of the letter. He says, I tell you this. He says, if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. In other words, if you're counting on this ceremonial thing that God gave the males in Moses' day to do, to know who he was, who God was, and who they were, and God was going to be a redeemer, he says, if you're counting on that to make you right with God, he says, then there's no benefit to you. He says, I'll say it again. He says, let me repeat myself. He says, if you are trying to find favor, unmerited favor, God's grace, you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, he says, you need to obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. He says, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have literally been cut off from Christ. Not the one that set you free from the penalty of sin, but the one who came to dump out every spiritual blessing on your life so you could walk empowered by the God of the universe and become everything you were created to be. Look what he says. And I would underline this next phrase if I were taking notes in my Bible, or I would highlight it on my phone, because this could change your life. He looks at him and says, you're putting yourself back in a pen. He says, and you have fallen away from God's grace. Fallen away from God's grace. That literally began to make me ask a question. What can make me fall away from God's grace? We're not talking about saved from the penalty of your sin right now. But what can make me fall away from being empowered by God and walk in the fullness of who God has created me to be? It is simply this. The enemy taking the word of God and me not really digesting what God's word is all about and understand it and begin to let it permeate my life and change my life. He twists it. Somebody comes along and tells me something, and he uses it to tempt me to get back in the cage and put myself underneath bondage instead of walking in the freedom that God says I can walk in. And so what happens is the enemy is always tempting people to get back in the cage. And it's not just with like little cool worldly stuff, though that sometimes happens. It's typically by taking the word of God and twisting the word of God. And there's some people not walking in the fullness of God's grace today. They know about the liberation. They know about the blood of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. But can I tell you something? They are misaligning with God's word, and they're missing so much about what God wants to do in their life. He says, so you're falling away. You're falling away from God's grace. The only way I can fall away for something is if I fall away, then I must fall into something. And so they're falling into temptation with a twisted version of God's word that God meant for a certain time period when he was revealing who he is to the human race. And they're putting it in a place, in a context that God didn't design for that to go in. See, this is what you need to understand today. This could revolutionize your life. The Bible, and I've heard it said too, you know, the Bible is basically basic instructions. Anybody ever heard this little acronym? How does it go? Basic instructions before leaving earth. And see, if you read the Bible as an instruction manual instead of a manuscript written by God, you're totally misinterpreting what God's word is all about. And though there are some great principles and great instructions for you to live by here on earth, it's not the intention of God's word to give you and I instructions to live by. It's a written revelation of who our Creator is and what he's doing in this earth. It's a manuscript penned by God from front to back so we can have a clear revelation of who God is. And we can begin to trust him with our life and not be trapped in a pen and held back in captivity from what God has designed us to be and do. And so the Bible is about God, but we tend to make it about us. And though we're on the pages of the scripture, the theme of the Bible is about our Creator and how awesome he is and how merciful and graceful and just and loving and kind he is to his creation, though his creation has missed the mark and sin has entered the world. And so the scripture is God's story about what he's doing down through history. And you got to remember, a day to God is like 1,000 years to us. And so the written revelation of God, the word of God, isn't written to tell you and me what to do and what not to do. It's written to tell us what God is already doing. What he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. That's basically what the scripture is about. about who God is, what he has done, and can I tell you something? So far, what he has said he was going to do, he has done to the fullest 100%. What he is currently doing, and so if you can't believe in what he's currently doing, maybe you need to believe in what he's already done. Because when you trust that he will always do what he says he will do, it will change your life. And so he has done some things. And we live in a time period on God's timeline, and it's called a period of grace. In other words, God is pouring out his unmerited favor on humanity. Because the liberator that the law taught about has already come. And his name is Jesus. And I need you to understand this today. That the written word of God has never been about the limitator. It has never been about the law. It has always been about the liberator and always will be about the liberator that come to set you free so you could walk in the fullness of who God says you are. And the liberator has come the first time. And the book of Revelation says he will return again. And when he comes back the second time, he's not going to be pouring out his blood. He's going to be pouring out his wrath and authority as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, putting all of his enemies under his feet. And come, Lord Jesus, come. And see, it's a story of God. And I've just got the audacity to believe that God is coming back. And he is going to do what he says he will do. And he will deliver me from this mortal body. And I will get a new body in the heavens, in a new heaven and a new earth. And I will walk with King Jesus all the days of my life because he said so. And he's already done this part. So surely he's going to do that part. And by the way, while I'm walking through this part, he's at work too. Don't fall into a trap. Don't tap out on life by being trapped by the hand of the enemy. He'll always twist God's word and put it out of context to make you want to get in the cage and miss what God is doing in your life. As a matter of fact, it's exactly what he did to Jesus when he was here on earth, wasn't it? Do you know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy? And he even thought that he could twist God's word enough to get Jesus to live in the cage. But see, Jesus had a good mind. He was the liberator, and he didn't fall into temptation. He walked out the fullness of his purpose here on earth and defeated death and rose from the grave. And the enemy basically kept trying to get Jesus to have power over the earth and all kinds of things. And can I tell you, Jesus took the word of God that the enemy was using to try to destroy his life and put it in context. And when he put it in context, it became a powerful sword to begin to make the enemy leave his presence. And what I want to say to you today, yes, God's word is called the sword of the spirit that God gives you. It is the weapon to fight the enemy off. But a weapon is no good in your hands if you don't understand what the weapon is for and how to use it and put it in context. And see, this is the challenge. As many of us are listening to every teaching underneath the sound of the sun, and we're being tossed from here to there like a ship on an open ocean, like the waves of the sea. And we're believing all kinds of things that are twisted up about God's word. And I'm just here to plainly state to you today, yes, we're on the pages of Scripture and God loves us. And there's some principles in there to live by, to have, you know what, a better marriage, a better life, better finances and all that kind of stuff. But truly, this is a story written about God and who he is and his amazing mercy, love, and grace and how he's redeeming mankind and all of his creation. And he is making a new heaven and a new earth. Read it in context. And if you begin to make anything in the storyline of God and you pull it out of context and put it in a place it was not designed to be, then it's a trap to put you in the cage. You hear what I'm saying? The law was simply given to the people who had come out of Egypt so that they know that they could know they had missed the mark of God's glorious standard, and to reveal to them that God was amazing and he was a redeemer and he would pay a high price for them so that they could move to an abundant life, abundant land, and begin to live out who God says that they were. It's a beautiful picture. But now the liberator had come, and these people are trying to put what God said over here in a place that God never designed it to be. It was to point to the liberator. And the liberator had already come. And so now these people are trying to do all this stuff in the cage instead of realize what God was doing in the earth. And can I tell you, it happens today. Pastor, what can I do and what can't I do? Well, the first thing you need to do is understand who God is. Because, see, then you will begin to be liberated from the powers that try to hold you in the cage. Because the Bible teaches that God is writing his laws and his word on the human heart. That he has come and he has poured out his spirit for all of those who believe in the finished work of Christ on a cross and his resurrection, that he has opened the door. You have been completely liberated from the sin pen. Get out of the cage, start walking in it. It's not about what you do and you don't do. It's about who you know and what he is doing in this time frame. And he will pour out his spirit and help you walk every step of the way towards your God destiny and the future that God holds for you. But you got to trust. You got to walk by faith. That's what faith is. And my friend, it's impossible to please God without faith. And God didn't ask you to just have faith on him to give a law. God didn't ask you to just have faith in him that he would send some prophets to tell people about a liberator. God didn't just have faith in him that he came and died on a cross. God didn't say just have faith in him for this, that. No, God said have faith in him, and we need to have faith in him every step of the way. But we don't have faith in God if we don't understand context. And see, that's the challenge, and it's why so many people live in the pen today. It's why they're limited in life. The limitator holds their life back. And Jesus, again, was tempted, but he walked free of that. He fulfilled his purpose, did exactly what God says. And because he did it, the Bible says he has been risen and he is alive and he is well, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty right now. Wow. He made it. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, Jesus, while he was here on earth, he told a whole story about what holds people in the pen. And it was all about this twisting of the word of God. And if you go to Matthew 13, I just want to kind of lay it out for you real quick, like, because this is what holds a lot of people in the pen today. It's misunderstanding and misusing the word of God instead of understanding that the word of God is powerful and it can be used to begin to really, really help you through life. And so it help you through life in such a way as you know who God is and begin to know who you are and what God is still going to continue to do. And so Jesus breaks out in a parable, a story in Matthew 13. He says, hey, I want to tell you guys a story. He said, there was a farmer who had some seed. And he said he spread the seed all over the ground. And some of the seed, you know what, fell on good soil. And when it fell on good soil, the receptive heart, he says, the thing is it produced something. It did something. It produced 30, 60, 100 times of what was sown. And then he tells about three soils it fell on that it didn't do nothing. And he says one of them was a hard ground. And he says it fell on hard ground. And because the seed fell on hard ground, there was a bird flying around, came and ate the seed and took it away before it could ever do anything. He said another one it fell on rocky ground. And because it was rocky and shallow, it never developed a root system. He says, so it just kind of withered out and died and went away. He says another one fell on some ground that had some thorns and thistles come up in it and some weeds and choked out the seed, and it never produced anything. Can I tell you, God always liberates people from the pen so you produce something with your life. And it's done by the empowerment of God's grace. And he says, understand, this is what happens. And then, so it's a great vast of people like here today. And so a smaller segment came to him basically after the story. It says, hey, Jesus, why are you always teaching parables? And I want to read to you what he says in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, he says it this way. He says in verse 12, he says, to those who listen to my teaching, everybody say listen. Listen. He says, those who listen to my teaching, more understanding. Everybody say understanding. He says, more understanding will be given. So if I'm listening, if I'm paying attention to his teaching, by the way, he is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word came and made his dwelling among us in the flesh. So Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. And he says, you know what? Everybody who listens to the Word of God and his teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, not paying attention, he says, even what little understanding they will have will be stolen, will be taken away from them. And then he continues. In verses 16 and 17, he says to the ones asking, why do you teach in parables? He says, listen. He says, you're blessed. He says, because you're blessed. But you're blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. He says, I tell you the truth. Many prophets, long, long ago, hundreds of years before he was given that message right there that day to these guys, and righteous people, people who walk by faith and believing that God would do what he says he would do, long to see what you see today in that particular culture. He says, but they didn't see it. They just believed it. He says, and they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. In other words, they knew I was going to do what I said I was going to do, or God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And prophets predicted it, Jesus says, and they talked about a liberator coming to liberate humanity from a cage and the limits of life, and they talked about it, they preached about it, they believed it, they put their faith in it. And Jesus is like, this is the day. And by the way, he says, you are listening and understanding who I am. And he says, may you walk in a great abundance, because you're getting a download from what God is doing in the earth. In other words, you're getting it in right context, but those I was speaking in stories to have misunderstood who I was. And then he says, hey, let me tell you the meaning of the story. He says this. He says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seeds. He says, here's the explanation. He said, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom of God. God's building an unshakable kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He says, they hear the message about the kingdom and they don't understand it. He says, then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Hallelujah. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last very long. They fall away. And again, how can you fall away from something unless you fall into something? They fall away. They fall into temptation and fall away from what God is trying to plant in their hearts because they don't have a clear understanding and they don't have deep roots, and they listen to everything that comes along underneath the name of the Son. And he says they fall away as soon as problems or they are persecuted for believing God's word. So he says the seed is the word of God. And it's spread all over the place. But when it's twisted and taken out of context and people aren't really understanding and really paying attention to it. He says the enemy can snatch it away. He says, and if they are basically, if they are being talked about for believing the word of God and all kinds of things, and they're not deeply rooted in who God says that they are, then they can just easily be sucked back into the trap. He says the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message of God's word. God is who he says he is. He is a redeemer. He is one that comes to rescue his people. He is the one that sees you where you are and comes after you. It's why Jesus came. He is the one that defeated death and rose from a grave. This is who Jesus is, and he will, my friend, return for his people. He says, but it's crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Wow. So the word of God can be sown into my heart and taken out of context. And now I begin to get focused on all the things of this life instead of understand what the word is to produce in my life. And I begin to take the word of God and make it about principles about living instead of a word that is about God redeeming his people. And because of that, I begin to live by some of the principles, and wealth begins to come my way, and amazing things begin to happen in my life. And then I begin to focus on thinking, you know what, the word of God is about all of those things. And before I know it, they are growing and they're choking out the grace and the unmerited favor of what God is trying to produce in me and through me in my life. Happens all the time. There's nothing wrong with being rich. As a matter of fact, a lot of people think money is evil. And I can tell you right now, money can buy a whole lot of things and spread the good news of Jesus around this world like nobody's business. Oh, let me tell you that right now. Money is not evil in itself. Money is the root of it can be the root of evil if we begin to let it get rooted down in our life and take control of our life. And basically, this is what happens all the time. It's what happened with the Israelites. They were blessed by God in an enormous way. And because they got focused on the blessing and forgot that the blessing was coming to them to work in them and through them so they could bless all the nations, it became like thorns and thistles and really begin to choke out what God was trying to do in their life and through their life. And in this great country we live in right now, it is the challenge in many of our lives. God begins to bless us. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Hallelujah. It's all about this life and bless me, Lord. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but don't let it choke out what God is doing and wants to do through you. And he goes on to say, the seed, he says, the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear, listen, and understand God's word and produce the harvest, do something with their life, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. And so he says, here's the deal. There's a lot of things that can suck you into that cage. And then he'll take the word of God and he'll twist it all up. And you know what? If he twists it up, it doesn't fall on a receptive heart if you don't put God's word in context. It's a story about God, not about you. And I need you to understand that. God is in love with you personally and me personally. So in love, he gave his one and only son that defeated death and resurrected from a grave. And he's coming back to put all enemies underneath his feet and throw them in the abyss. And those who walk with God and are liberated by God will be his children forever and ever and ever and ever. But this Bible is written by man from, and it's a story from God, inspired by God, so that humanity can understand how awesome and great he is. And if you take the theme of the story and you pull it out of context and you make it about you or me, then we've totally misinterpreted what God is doing instead of walking by God's amazing grace. And nothing wrong with anything, but the enemy will twist it and tempt you with everything and to make you live in a cage instead of living in wide open spaces with unlimited grace in your life. Grace upon grace. The Bible says that sin is powerful, but grace is more powerful. The law of God was simply a book to show people what had power over them, and there would be one to come liberate them. And can I tell you something? He is doing what he says he will do. It's amazing. So walk in the fullness of the liberation. Walk in the fullness of the good of God, the goodness of God. Let the Holy Spirit give you a download. Come and live inside of you and tell you who you are. And begin to embrace that gift that he has made you, and begin to walk in understanding his kingdom and what God is building here on earth as it is in heaven. It's called his amazing kingdom. But Jesus says these souls will mess you up. First one is getting busy. That's what causes a hard heart. And not listening and understanding. Some of us are so busy about how we're going to get out of here today that we're not receiving what God says. Because here's the deal. No. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But we got things to do. We're important people. We got places to go. And people to see. Facebooks to check. Twitters to text. And I don't mean that in a negative way. All of those are awesome things. I Twitter, I Facebook, I do all those things. It's amazing. But so what happens is we get so caught up in what we are doing instead of who God is, that when the word is spoken into our heart, the cares or the business of life just begins to choke it out, and it doesn't take root and produce anything out of our life. I invite you to get with God and understand what he says. And, you know, we talk about quiet times. All right, quiet time is awesome. It's incredible. And what a quiet time is where you get up and you spend some time with God every day, and you read God's word, and you let God's word hopefully speak to your heart and begin to encourage you in who he says that he is and who you are, okay? But what we do a lot of times in our quiet time is we're like, I got to do my quiet time today. I got to do it! Because if I don't do it, God's going to be mad at me today in my quiet time. And so I better get this chapter read, because I got to get through the Bible in a year. Why you got to get through the Bible in a year? And I think you need to read the whole Bible and understand the whole context of it. But why don't you stop for just a minute and digest a little bit about what God is saying in his word, understand it, put it in context, and let it liberate your life. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Begin to understand who God is and who he's saying you are, and walk by the fullness of his grace each and every day. It's not a check-off list. And can I tell you something? So many people are so caught up in, did I do my quiet time today or not do my quiet time today? That's bondage, man. That's a limitator. Because you're focused on how much you got read today instead of what God wanted to say about himself and do in your life and set you free as a captive. You see, we get so busy sometimes, we miss meditating on who God is and what he does. That's the hard soul. The next one is the soul that was rocky and shallow. And the reason it's rocky and shallow is we don't understand what God is saying a lot of times. And we have a rocky and shallow life because, again, we're listening to every teaching that comes along. We're being cast from here to there. And I can tell you right now, we're more worried about what somebody else is saying about something. Google is saying about it. The next book is saying about it. You know, this is saying about it. Grandmama Frida said about it. You know, what the millennials are saying about it. Instead of going to God and figuring out what he has said about himself and about humanity and about what he's going to do in the earth. And we have a shallow understanding. And so when the seed and the word and the truth falls on our heart, you know what? It's withering away and producing absolutely nothing. Because we don't go into trying to understand and get the knowledge of what God is doing through his word. The next one is this. He says, then there's the cares of the world, you know. And again, I say to people all the time, get above the noise as far as the other one goes. That's all it is a bunch of voices, a bunch of noise. And again, you know, it's great to read a commentary. It's great to read Google. It's great to read. But I'm telling you, you will get so flippant and confused about who God is if you don't read what his word says about him and put it in context that you'll be believing everything and it won't produce anything in your life. You're saved to produce. You're brought out of the cage to produce 30, 60, 100 times of what has been planted in your life and in your heart. You are to produce the good news. But the thorns and thistles, he says, represents the wealth and the cares of this world and the worries of this world. And again, man, I believe get all you can get, but don't let it get you. Did you hear what I just said? Get all you can get, but don't let it get you. Understand what you are getting and its purpose in your life, what you are being blessed by and what its purpose is. Because I can get so busy and with the things in this world, trying to manage the things of this world, I forget about the God of this world. It happens all the time. It happens in my life. Just trying to manage all the processes and all the things that God has given and all the people and all the stuff. And sometimes I'm like, it's just flipping stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, the enemy works and tempts me and wants me to go in this cage all the time and get so busy managing the stuff. Now, again, stuff can begin to move things forward, but stuff can hold us back. And the thing is, are you going to away from God's amazing favor and grace into the temptation and letting stuff keep you in the pen? He's saying, be very, very, very careful. He says, because there's a lot of things that will limitate your life and keep you in that eliminator. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know how God's word has spoke to you, but there's one more thing that I want to share, and it's found in Galatians 6, and it's doing good. Doing good will keep you in the cage. Doing good, doing ministry will put you in that cage. It's raining outside, so we might as well go a little bit longer. Just teasing. Give me a couple minutes. Because see, a lot of us are doing good, but we don't understand why we're doing good. And I can tell you right now, if you don't get an understanding of his kingdom and his righteousness and what he is doing in this earth, that's what you'll spend your life doing, is doing good, and you'll get sucked into that cage. And I want to show you Galatians 6, as he has taught, the writer has blasted the people about taking God's word out of context and getting back underneath the law. And then he talks about living by the power of the Spirit instead of by the law that just showed you who God was as the liberator. And then he says, hey, listen, I want to share one more quick thing with you, dear brothers and sisters, Galatians 6:1. He says, if another believer is overcome by sin. Did you get that? Another believer is overcome by sin. Believer who has believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has been sucked back into the pit. It can happen to me, to you, to all of us, and it limitates our life. He says, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. He says, and be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Other words, don't let it suck you back into the pen. Don't fall away from grace and let it suck you in the pen. Doing good, don't let it get you back in the pen. He says, share each other's burdens in the same way. In this way, you obey the law of Christ. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. In other words, you're producing something. Something is flowing out of the grace that God has given you. He says, if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. He says, you are not that important, Jack. He says, pay careful attention to your own work. Pay close attention. For then you will get the satisfaction of job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Here is the temptation of ministry and doing good for people. Is we are here to humbly help everybody, whether they have put their faith in Jesus and got back in that cage, or they don't even know who Jesus is and know the way out of the cage. Our purpose of living the Christian life and walking with God's grace is to stand by the door of this cage, and those who have come out say, don't crawl back in, and those who are in, reach a hand in and help them out. However, he says, be careful. Because it's easy to fall away from God's unmerited favor into this temptation pen, into the pen of sin, as you're doing the work of the ministry. He says, be careful. And so practically, this happens all the time. Whether it is a believer, whether it's a person with a problem, whether it's a person overcome with anything, as I am out here trying to help other people, I have to be mindful that, you know what, that the enemy is trying to get me to fall into temptation and get in there with them. This is the challenge when somebody has the same problem that you have, and all you do is sit around and talk about your problem. Instead of letting the solution liberate you, then you stay in the pen. I see it happening in all kind of places and all kind of faces every day. Well, let's just sit around and talk about how bad it is. Why you want to do that? Talk about how good God is, and he's a liberator, and he brought you out of the pen, not to get back in the pen. Walk in the fullness of who he says you are and get somebody around you that'll humbly reach in but not get in the pen with you. Let me show you what it looks like. Brianna, come up here and get in this pen. Brianna's awesome. Brianna works on our children's ministry. And you know what? She has been liberated from the penalty of sin. She is walking in the power of God's amazing grace, and she is looking forward to the future. But the enemy is working on her soul and trying to put her in that pen. So get in that pen, okay? And this is what it looks like. And we need each other, folks. We need to help each other. Encourage one another, humbly help each other, not point at her and say, you screw up. I mean, why you get in the pen? But let me show you what it looks like. Listen, let me tell you this today. If you have been overcome by an addiction called alcohol or drugs, what part of going into that environment is going to help you get better? Oh, I'm helping them. Well, can I tell you, be careful. Because it will suck you in and destroy your life. I'm doing good. I done found Jesus. I found Jesus. Well, walk by grace. And listen. So I get down here and I start trying to help Brianna. Brianna, man, you've been, you know, you're in there. And you're limited in life. And man, I know you didn't mean to fall into temptation, but you did. I want you to know right now, God has completely forgiven you of your past, your present, and your future sins. Sin can no longer hold you hostage. And Brianna, you're trying your best to overcome that crap that is overcoming you. And I need you to know that you really just got to walk in God's grace and trust his spirit and proper context of his word and what he's doing in this world. And we're going to have tough times. It's going to be a challenge. Life ain't a cakewalk. But I can tell you right now, with the help of God in our life, the Holy Spirit and the gift that he's given us to produce with, if we hook up and join together, we can produce some amazing things. And I want to encourage you to get out of the pen. But can I tell you, here's what normally happens in these sessions. But you don't understand. I mean, get in here with me. I ain't coming in there. You need to understand. I'm humbly out here and I'm trying to flip and help you. And I love you and God loves you. But why are you going to sit in the pen? Walk in wide open spaces. And so reach your hand in, grab somebody. Listen, don't let them pull you in. Help them out and say, let's walk together in the fullness of who God says you are. There you go. Thank you, Brianna. But in doing that, I'm telling you, the excuses fly. Help me. You don't understand. It's your responsibility. No, no, no. Did you hear what he said in the scripture? My responsibility is my own self. My influence is in you. Don't you suck me into your problem. I'll help you with your burden, but I can tell you right now, I'm responsible to God for what I do and how I walk with him. And I will share your burden, but you ain't gonna put your burden on me. Put it on Jesus and walk in the fullness of who God says you are. Come on, somebody. The guilt trip. I mean, the church is supposed to fix my financial problem. I'm telling you, this is how it comes. No. Church is supposed to introduce you to Jesus and care for you and help you walk in the fullness of his grace. And if that takes me giving to help you out of the pen, we'll do it, but we're going to get our discernment from God in doing that. We're not going to do it because you lay a guilt trip on me. I ain't crawling in that pen and getting in there with your problem. I'm here to help you out. The church is here to help you out. But what happens is people like, get in here with me. And the Bible says, be careful. Even the people in households limit themselves. And I'm telling you right now, God has given you a gift not to be limited, but to walk in the fullness of his amazing grace. Then he finishes this in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, and I want to read it. He says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. Don't be misled. He says, you cannot, Lauren, he says, you cannot mock the justice of God. God's justice can't be mocked. He says, you will always harvest what you plant. He says, those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest death and decay from their sinful nature. So are you living to satisfy your nature, your selfish, sinful nature? Are you living by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the fullness of grace? He says, but those who live by the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. Just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. He says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Look what it says, especially to those of the family of faith. Especially those of the family of faith. We're here to help each other get out of the pen, encourage each other, challenge one another. In another place, it says, spur one another on to works and good deeds as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So sometimes we just need a kick in the rear end. Though we're gentle and humble, helping people get out. You know, I'm not taking your pity bath and getting in there. I'm always going to be the one, I'm telling you, I am not above any. I will get on my flipping stomach and crawl to you if I can help you find Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, but there's a lot of people that don't want to find Jesus. And if you don't want to find Jesus, then you don't want to be liberated. And again, I will crawl through hell or high water to liberate somebody from that cage, to tell them how to be liberated through Christ Jesus. And do everything I can to help you. But I refuse to crawl in that cage and fall into your temptation to be that particular thing and say, you know what, that there is no power to help me over this cage. No, the power lives in me. And the same power that lives in me resurrected Jesus from the grave. And that same power will take me into eternity. And I will walk with him all the days of my life because he is a good God. And may we never get tired of doing the good work, the ministry. People talk all the time about, I'm burnt out. Well, start trusting God and stop burning out. start trusting in the God of the universe and get some rest and be who God has called you to be and stop burning out. Be who God has said we to be. We are the church. You ain't the Savior. I ain't the Savior. Jesus is the Savior, and we work together to encourage one another. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise this great God today, and let's never get tired of doing the good work that Jesus has created us to do. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you for this great group of people today. And Jesus, encourage us to stay out of the limitator, the pit that holds back potential. The enemy is always at work twisting your amazing word. And God, may we speak it with truth, with love, with grace and passion and liberation. And God, I pray today that some people will be liberated from the challenges of life because they have trusted the finished work of Christ on a cross and his resurrection, and know today that he pours out his unmerited favor in our life, every spiritual blessing for us to walk in the fullness of who he says we are. And God, we need each other. Thank you for giving us other people. God, I thank you for people like Brianna that I'll even be using an illustration. Communicate your truth. God, it takes us all doing all kinds of things. So I pray for everybody here today. God, there's so many people in bondage and held back from potential. But God, you're rising up a church that the gates of hell will not hold back. And God, I pray that we would be that congregation, we would be that people, we'd be a part of that great church. Because God, you're building your church to liberate people from bondage and help people know your story and who you are. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of love. You're a God of justice. You're a God that is bringing all things underneath your feet. And I pray we would trust you all the way on the journey. God, I pray for the young and old in here alike today. Pray for all colors, all genders. And God, today, we would be people of faith. It is faith that pleases you, God. And may we walk by faith every step of the way. We pray it in Jesus' most holy name, the Liberator, the Messiah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap today.